listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to the show today. So we've got a fun topic today. Your ultimate life. It's about creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. And you know, it's easy to talk about that and say those kind of nice words, purpose, prosperity, and joy. And the key is, like, what do you do to have that? Can you really have it? Like, can you live with purpose, prosperity, and joy every day, or is that a pipe dream? So let's talk about this. Today, I want to talk about expectations versus agreements. Now, we all know what an agreement is, right? It's you and I, we talk, and we say we agree to do this, and maybe there's an agreement that gets signed, and maybe it's a verbal agreement. But it's different than expectations, and expectations wreck your life. So let's explore how that is. Today, I'm going to dive into something that undermines marriages, friendships, business partnerships, and even your own personal progress. It's a silent killer of trust and an invisible wrecking ball in relationships. It's the difference between expectations and agreements. Now, how many times have you had a situation where you're talking to somebody, right? And then something doesn't go according to what you thought. And you say, yeah, but I thought. That is the framework of an expectation. It's private. It's secret. It's in your mind. And they had a mirror of a different expectation. I mean, they had a thought about how something was going to go, and it certainly didn't match yours, or there wouldn't have been the conflict. There wouldn't have been the problem. That's a key. Expectations are hidden. They're covered. They're not in the open. They're in the mind. And I don't mean somebody's intentionally hiding. Maybe they are, but that's a whole different problem. Expectations, by definition, sit in my mind. Agreements, they're out in the open. They're spoken, they're written, they're mutually understood. And this split between expectations and agreements, that is key to creating a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. It's key to getting what you want. It's key to making money. It's key to having a good relationship. It's key to having the truth be spoken in friendships and other partnerships. So it's the difference between I thought you were going to do this and we agreed you would do this by Friday at noon. Now, it's a habit to get into, and it's one of the things I teach clients, is to get in the habit of simply saying, are we agreed? Or what did we just agree to? And use we so it doesn't feel like you're, you know, pointing at someone. So I've got a story for you today that makes this painfully clear. My wife Joy and I just spent 10 days in Victoria, on Vancouver Island, driving up down the island and doing stuff. And rather than fly from Edmonton, we did a two-day drive because of Grandma, you know, and we have a dog. And so we just decided to drive. And there was a situation on the way back. We were stuck in the middle of nowhere in a little town called Clearwater, British Columbia, with a hotel booking that was confirmed. And the Choice Hotels, what a funny name. Choice Hotels wouldn't honor it. No, you know, just completely dissed us and left us stranded with 94-year-old grandma who can't see, in the middle of the night in a dinky little hotel with no vacancy. Anyway, so we'll tell you about that. And you know what else this ties into? This ties into the golden rule, right? I was in a mastermind meeting earlier today where that was part of what we were talking about, is how do you keep relationships strong and thriving? And the topic of the golden rule, which is, you know, treat others like you'd like to be treated. Well, that certainly didn't happen to us. And so, yeah, the hotel was embarrassing and the people that worked there were embarrassing and arrogant and all the rest. But the real point is how this mismatch causes such problems. And we just, you know, had this happen. It happens in our teams, in relationships, in promises to ourselves. And we assume the other party knows what we mean. And we assume they value what we value, that we're on the same page. And then we get smacked around when it's not that way. So I'm going to show you today why expectations ruin trust, why agreements create trust, and how to move from one to the other. Now, I have a friend who's also a coach, retired now, Steve Chandler, who had a beautiful audio on this that he shared when I was in one of his masterminds many years ago. And it just stuck with me. And so expectations versus agreements. And I'm going to give you a simple framework that you can start with right now to replace the silent trust killer, the silent resentment of expectations, with the power and clarity of agreements. Wouldn't that be fun? So here's the thing. If you've ever been blindsided because someone didn't do what you thought they should, this show is for you. Let's break it down. So what is an expectation? It's internal. It's usually unspoken. It's based on assumptions. And you know that because you would say things like, well, duh, everybody knows that. Like, of course you do that. If you're using that kind of language, that is assumptive language. You've decided that your judgment about whatever is normal, right, and proper in a given situation is automatically right. And I can tell you right now, it's not. It's not automatically wrong either. But everyone has their own life that they've lived up to this moment. I call it a BD, beliefs, definitions, experiences, expectations, and perceptions. And that set of things forms what you or what I believe is right and proper in any given situation. And believe me, your set of expectations are different than mine and different than somebody else's. Because our experience has been different. Our life has been different. Here is another thing that's true about expectations, and that is they're almost always mismatched. And they're almost mismatched, always mismatched, because we have different lives, right? Our experiences have been different, and everything that's gone on in our lives are completely different. And so that you can guarantee that they're mismatched. So in the story I'm going to tell you, I assumed that the hotel would honor the booking because I paid it and I've confirmed and I was resi and money was gone from my account. It was done. So I made an assumption. Now, it is a binding contract. So, yeah, we're going to get our money back and we're going to, you know, do some stuff to get the hotel to shape up. But that's not the point. So what is it? That's an expectation. So what is an agreement? Well, an agreement is something explicit. It is written, maybe, or verbal. And here's how you can tell an agreement. There's mutual consent. So what I do, whether it's in business or even Joy and I when we're talking, I'll say, so this is what we've agreed. Is that right? And I don't focus on just her. It's not about pointing out to someone else. This is what I've agreed to do and this is what you've agreed to do. Is that right? Are we agreed? And the speaking of that creates power. And it creates a reference point. Usually it includes details. I'll have that done by noon Friday. You can count on it. Can I count on that? Yeah. Those are agreement. That's agreement language. And it can be pleasant and good, and it's also powerful. The dates, the timelines, the precise deliverables, responsibilities, they're all confirmed, right? You know by mutual speaking or writing that it's done. So agreements create accountability and expectations create resentment. I want you to think about your personal relationship. It was your turn to take out the trash. You were supposed to clean up that mess. You're supposed to change that diaper. I already did it. I worked all day. I'm tired. You know, that whole list of expectations, it does. It creates resentment. You're not hauling your fair share. You're not, you know, pulling your weight. That's all expectations, and you can get rid of all of that by simply making agreements. So this whole show is about having a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. I live that way. I live every day of my life. You may not believe me, but I live every day with a purpose. My purpose right now is to reach 300 million people with a message of your worth, your identity, your possibility, your ownership of your life, your sovereignty, the capability you have to create anything you want. Can you imagine what would happen if you operated every day from that knowledge? I also have a method, message method mastery. So that's my purpose. Prosperity is money and prosperity of spirit and soul. And that's money's easy to make. And all you have to do to get money is create value and people pay you. And this episode's not about money, but we've done others. So expectations give a negative feeling in your heart, like disappointment and stuff like that. That's the opposite of purpose, prosperity, and joy. So if you want one key to get to purpose, prosperity, and joy, where you love your life every day faster, Make a habit of creating agreements around everything, even small things. Even small things. I thought you were going to set the table. No, I don't have time. Creates a moment, or has the potential at least, to create a moment of discord. Why would you live with any of that? All right, so let's get to the next piece, and let me tell you the story of what happened. So we spent 10 beautiful days over on Vancouver Island. We went to the beaches. We went to the Butchered Gardens. It was glorious and fabulous. And we had a good time, and the dog was there, and Grandma's there. She can't see anything because literally she's blind in one eye completely. She had glaucoma during the pandemic, and we didn't know it. And it cost her sight in one eye and damaged the other, so she can half see out of, not even half, one-third see out of one eye. And on top of that, she's 94, uses a walker, and can't stand up by herself. So pretty serious medical issues. And we timed our drive to stop in this little town. So there were two things at issue here. Excuse me. We did have an agreement, because when you make a reservation at a hotel, this is the law. I looked it up in British Columbia. When you make and pay for a reservation, that is a binding contract. So we had a binding contract to have a place to stay for the night. And we didn't want to get home too late on Sunday night. So we drove an extra hour to get a little bit further so we'd have less driving to do on Sunday. And we'd get home, you know, at 6 o'clock instead of 8 o'clock at night. The town was sold out. We had a dog, of course, with us, Cooper. But we checked. Joy's very fastidious about that. The booking said, you know, pet-friendly hotel. All that stuff was there. And Choice Hotels, you know, they say they're pet-friendly. They're not. They lied. But, hey, they said it. Anyway, so it was on the booking site. And so we had a binding contract, but we also had an expectation. And the expectation was that it would be ready for us, that we would be able to honor the contract, that the stuff on the website was true about being pet friendly and so forth. So we drive up 9:15 at night. It's dark. You know, Grandma's not doing well. She's been driving all day, heroic. She made it. And we're looking forward to just getting in the room and you know, crashing. So I'm sitting in the car and Joy goes inside. And it's like 20 minutes. And I thought, I better go see what's going on. So I jumped out and went inside. And she's in conversation with the clerk, who has now told us, no, yes, they have pet-friendly rooms, but all the pet-friendly rooms are gone. And, of course, there was no way for us to know that when we booked the hotel or anything like that. There was no indication. It just said pet-friendly. So, again, another error in that created this. The expectation was you can trust the website. And, of course, we couldn't. The other thing that ties into the golden rule, which is then there's the clerk saying, yeah, there's an empty room, but you can't have that one. It's not sold. It's going to sit vacant tonight because you can't put a dog in that room. We didn't even know. I mean, there was no way for us to know that, well, only some of the rooms are pet friendly and all that sort of stuff. So you get the picture. The clerk was rude, dismissive. Well, if you're rude to me, I won't even give you a room. And then didn't anyway, you know, that kind of thing. So that violated golden rule and expectations and all that sort of stuff. And sure enough, it created that resentment. I'm sitting here thinking, and so is Joy, we've got an invalid in the car, which we had to bring her in and she had to use the bathroom and everything else. We've got an invalid in the car. It's the middle of the night. Every hotel in town is sold out because that particular town runs along a river. And it's beautiful, and there's, you know, river trips and rafting and stuff. So all the rooms are full in the whole town, and there we are in the middle of the night. Now, you can see how that mismatch in expectations caused this problem. And, you know, the clerk pretended or did call manager. I don't know. No exceptions, no nothing. So violation of golden rule, which you expect in the hospitality industry, right? The hospitality industry for somebody to be hospitable, but that didn't happen. So the principle is that even though we had a contract and additional expectations, the room would be ready and that they told the truth about pet-friendly room and all the rest, none of those were met, and it created that very cascade of concern and feelings. And that is a disaster from a a point of view of customer service, a disaster from a point of view of the hotel's reputation, certainly a disaster for us because here we are with nowhere to stay, and, you know, an invalid, and it's the middle of the night in podunk nowhere. So anyway, that that's the story of what happened. The impact, when I talk about expectations and how they cause problems, the impact was that we were fatigued, we were tired. Well, it was very frustrating. We didn't know what to do. We were totally disrespected. And, you know, that sort of sets the stage. Now, I want you to think about in your own life where you have had an expectation mismatch, where you have, in the, your best of intentions, assumed somebody was going to do something, deliver something on time, deliver a project at work, or produce something for you. Like Joy and I do this together because we work, right? She creates slide presentations for me, and I taught a class this morning. Three of them, actually, I taught because my business is, you know, helping people write books and a lot of other things. So she creates slides for me and does that. And so we have an agreement. These slides will be ready at this time because she knows when the classes are. And as long as that agreement is kept up, then there's no problem. If I had another expectation that said, oh, yeah, I mentioned this the other day and I need three extra slides, and I didn't get an agreement from her that she was going to, one, that she knew what they were, two, she knew which presentation they belonged to, and three, that she was going to be able to have time to do it, that would create a massive expectation mismatch, disappointment, frustration that I can't deliver what I thought I was going to deliver. Maybe some, you know, emotion and words and that kind of thing could be exchanged. And all that is eliminated by creating agreements that are clear with details, dates, and times. And the spoken affirmation. Yeah, that's our agreement. Yeah, I've agreed. We're agreed. We're on the same page. So I want you to think about a situation right now where in the past day or two, you've had an expectation mismatch that's caused the problem. When that happens, how does that feel? You're uptight, probably. You're upset with someone. They didn't do what they're supposed to do. Never mind that they didn't know they were supposed to. Never mind that they never agreed to it. Even if you did mention it, I need you to do that, doesn't constitute an agreement. I need you to create some extra slides. That's not an agreement. That is an I statement, a statement of need. It doesn't become an agreement until she says, when do you need them? And I say, I need them by Tuesday at noon, and they go in this presentation. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that. Now we have an agreement. Now we have an agreement, and we have a foundation on which to move forward. So if you want to get the most out of this principle, I want you to do two things. One, clearly understand the difference between expectations and agreements. And as a corollary, understand how powerful it is. Life-saving, relationship-saving, emotion, you know, saving of your emotions. It's a fabulous thing. Two, I want you to think of two or three things right now as we're talking when you have violated that. I don't care how reasonable you thought your expectations were. I don't care how much commonplace it is. Everybody thinks so. Obviously, everybody does that. That doesn't count. That's useless. Nothing. Don't do it. Don't use it. It's going to get you in trouble. Okay. And then I also want you to think, what was the impact? Did it cost you money? So this cost us money, right? We had to go do something else. So the rest of the story is, we called all the hotels because they were booked, and we're standing by a hotel with our booked and paid room, right? They're saying, no, you can't have it. They didn't really do the na-na-na part. That's me making stuff up. But I called a hotel across the street. I called Central Booking. They had one booking thing for the whole little town. No, every room's booked. So then I started calling individual hotels, and I called one across the street that was like a 2.5-star hotel, right? It was getting desperate at this point. Do you have any rooms? What do you need? And I said, well, we've got three people. And she said, no, we can't help you. And I said, well, do you have something? Well, we have a room we can't rent because the shower is broken and it's only got one bed in it anyway. And so then I told her the story, the lady, and she said, okay, well, if you don't mind the shower head, we'll give you a little discount for that and we'll pull in a trundle bed. So now we're talking golden rule. because the lady heard our plight. She was absolutely aghast that Choice Hotels, right across the street, told us to go piss up a rope, right? But anyway, they did. And so I said to her, yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. And I hadn't paid her yet or done anything. I said, we'll be there in 10 minutes. By the time we got there in 10 minutes or less, they had already wheeled in, gone and got the extra bed. They'd wheeled it in. They'd made it up, and they were ready to go. Now, there is customer service. There is kindness. There is the golden rule. They heard our situation and said, oh, well, we can't leave you out on the street with an invalid all night. Sure, we don't have a working room and we can't book this really, but we'll give it to you at a bit of a discount. And I said, look, I would pay the full price. I don't care. She said, no, that's all right. So just I want you to contrast those two approaches to solving a problem. One's belligerent. Well, it's our policy. You can't have this. Nah. I don't care how old your grandma is. And I don't care if she dies out in the street. Didn't say that, but could have. And someone right across the street at a 2-star hotel, hey, heck yeah, we'll take care of you. We'll move a bed in. It'll be ready when you get here. And it was. So that is not expectations versus agreements. That was wildly exceeding expectations. So you can imagine on TripAdvisor the review that Joy would have written for the one and the glowing, lavish praise she heaped on the 2-star neighbor across the street. So I want to talk now about why expectations cause so much damage. Okay? In personal relationships, they cause tremendous damage because this is especially partners or spouses, especially when you've been together a few years. We have this disease. And the disease is, I just expect you knew me well enough to know what I want or what I need. Well, my invitation to you is to never do that again. Never say it again. Never think it again. Treat your partner like gold. Treat your partner like love. You want to live your ultimate life? Treat your partner like they walk on water and they're an angel. Go out of the way to ask and to confirm and to serve. That's a little relationship advice coming from a guy that didn't learn that till much later in life. But anyway, when you're with someone, whether you're business colleagues or partners, for a long time, you just have this idea that they're going to know, you know, what kind of eggs you like or how you want your this, that, and the other. I don't care if they do. Don't treat it like that. Because the minute it gets familiar and the expectation goes up, people feel resentment, they feel unappreciated, and all of the rest. Why not much rather just with kindness and love and every single time ask, I'd like this. Is that okay? Can you do that? Yes. There's your agreement. It doesn't have to be some formal thing, but it acknowledges choice. It acknowledges the fact that they can say, you know, I can't do that right now. And then it's on you to be okay with that. Right? And so agreements, again, they're out in public. I'm telling you what I want. I'm asking if it's okay. And you either agree, in which case we have an agreement, or you tell me no. In which case, we don't. And then we might have further convo about that. I might say, please, or whatever it goes, you know, whatever. But the point is, it's in the open and there's no unspoken things. The silent scorecard is where that goes, that expectation thing. You didn't make my bed. You didn't make my coffee right. You didn't do this, that, and the other. That silent scorecard has killed more relationships than practically anything. Falling out of love, growing apart. There's no need for any of that. There's no need to ruin relationships with this expectation game. Open your mouth and speak up and get an agreement. Nicely, kindly, as a request, not a demand. All right, now let's go to business relationships. How many times have you heard a leader, manager, something say, well, I was expecting you guys to take the initiative. I was expecting you to just figure it out and take the leadership. Well, that's baloney. Unless you have set a culture that rewards initiative, and unless you've given boundaries ahead of time about what initiative can involve, your employees most likely aren't going to do that. Now, if you've set a culture of trust and a culture of, you know, not getting people in trouble when they try stuff, then, you know, then they might. But if you are an old school manager that manages by pointing out mistakes and doing that kind of thing, you're screwed. not going to take any initiative. They're afraid of you, either in little ways or big ways. It can be that way in families, too. Friendships, families with kids. You got to make your expectations clear. You know what that sounds like? I expect, and you can use the word expect, it's not a dirty word, I expect you to take the lead on figuring out how to solve this problem. Are you willing to do that? That's the agreement part. The I expect XYZ is nothing. Because if they're afraid, you know, get chastised for mistakes. I was going to take that initiative. I just didn't have time. Yeah, I was going to, but there was just, you know, one more question. Well, you know what that's like. It's running for cover. It's hiding. It's playing games. So you can't live in a world where you expect other people to just read your mind, know what you want. I don't care how many times they've done it before. Think about a guy going in a coffee shop, right? He goes in a coffee shop and the barista or whoever behind the counter says, "Hey, Joe, the usual?" And yeah, okay. No, not this morning. That is an agreement because the usual is already known. The question is asked and then answered. That is an agreement. Even something casual like that. So if you want to have employees or partners that work like their owners, then treat them like that. Make it okay to make mistakes. Make it okay to take initiative. And then give explicit permission. I really would like you guys to just take lead on this and don't wait for me. Just do it. Figure out how, and I'll be okay with what you figure out. You've got to create safety. Otherwise, they don't know what initiative looks like. And then it becomes a risky business. I'll tell you how it also wrecks business relationships. Clients expecting certain results without clarity or scope or timing. I'll give you two questions that will help you do this powerfully. And they're really simple. Do what by when? So if you have a deliverable of any kind, either as a project milestone or a full project or anything, do what by when is deceptively simple. It's four words. But you turn it into powerhouse words by being in much detail. Do what? Exactly what will be done. This will be finished. The prototype will be done. It will be ready to ship. The wall will be painted completely and dry. You know, the do what has to be specific. Why? So you can have an agreement about that being even the deliverable. And then the by when is critical because otherwise it's like, oh, yeah, I was going to do that tomorrow. The deadline was this afternoon. Oh, I didn't know that. So write that down. Do what by when? Do what by when? If you're setting goals for yourself, it's the same thing. If you're setting goals for a team or people you work with, it's exactly the same thing. Another way that expectations and agreements trashes things is in self-leadership. Now, this might be a little complicated, but if you're listening to this, you're one of these people that's trying to grow. You're in self-improvement. You're trying to build a business or make more money or be happier or whatever it is. Here is a way that this agreement thing ruins or expectation thing ruins personal growth. You expect yourself to change without making a real commitment or agreement. Same thing, agreement to the process. So you read a book and you're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm going to do some stuff. Yeah. And you don't make a real commitment, meaning get on your calendar, put the time in, buy 12 alarm clocks if it means you got to get up earlier or whatever it is. Like you don't do that. And that's the agreement phase. The expectation is the wishful thinking phase. The agreement phase is when you say and demonstrate with your actions, with your preparation, that this is serious. I'm agreeing to do this. And that then opens up a world of possibility for you because you've now made a commitment. Now, I'll tell you what's dangerous. What's dangerous is in a really fast-moving world that's driven by a lot of AI, expectations, assumptions move way slower than clear agreements. When you have assumptions, there's danger, there's red flags, there's worry. People are worried about their jobs, their career, their outcomes, judgment, all that kind of stuff. Clear agreements, you can move forward. So if you want a key to getting things done faster in your business, which means make more money, reach more people, have a bigger impact. Agreements, clear, simple agreements, are the ticket to ride. Now, what I want to do is I want to talk about for a minute, a few minutes, about how to change. So if you've been a person who's lived on expectations and you find yourself constantly disappointed or frustrated or in emotional conflict or angry with either coworkers or family members or your boss or whatever, that's a signal. It's not a disaster. It probably feels like one, but it's a signal. I'm pissed off all the time, blah, 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 right? Okay. That's a symbol or a signal that it's time to do something, to change something so that you can end the turmoil, end the acid indigestion, end the disappointment, end the frustration. You have the power to do that. You alone, and you might think, well, it takes two to tango. It does. It does. But I have never, in any circumstance, come up against a situation where we can't create an agreement. Now, maybe I have an agreement in my mind that says, I need this thing, whatever it is, tomorrow at noon. And there's no way that person can do it. Then I either find somebody else or we negotiate. All right, well, I could take it as late as 2 o'clock. Can you do that? That conversation is the foundation for trust and agreements. It is the foundation for getting things done and making the kind of progress you want to make. Okay, so here's some practical ways that are very specific about how to do this. Number one, surface the expectation. Say it out loud. That's going to take some practice. If you've lived in the idea that people that know you or are around you just somehow can read your mind, maybe they were good at it and maybe they lost their, you know, Zoltar turban or whatever it is. Say the expectation. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I mean. This is what I want. Do what by when. I need this in this form by this hour. Then, so that's step one. You got to be honest, forthright, and clear about what you want to create this kind of agreement culture. The second thing is invite feedback. Invite feedback. That's a must-have. It's non-negotiable. You must ask. And the reason is quite simple. You have to be sure that you're both on the same page, that how you would describe the solution and the timeliness of it is how they would describe it and the timeliness of it. So that is a killer piece. You got to say the expectation out loud so you can turn it into agreement. Then invite feedback. Can you do this? Do you have what you need to make this happen? Is there anything you need before I turn this over to you? Whatever version of that question makes sense so that the person who's about to make an agreement knows the do what by when, exactly what they're agreeing to so that there's no stress and no friction. Step three is to negotiate and clarify who's doing it, what, when, how, all that stuff. Do what by when, who's going to do it and everything. So here's the three steps again. Surface the expectation. You got to say it out loud, clearly. Don't hide. Don't pretend pieces away. Say the whole thing. And then check for understanding. Do you understand what I'm looking for? Then it's invite feedback. Can you see a problem here? Can you deliver such a thing? And, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it's also feedback on the project. Maybe they have an idea you haven't thought of. So surface the expectation, then invite feedback and see if the way that you describe the outcome and the way that they describe the outcome is the same. That's clearly necessary to reach a mutual understanding. Okay, check that it matches, that your what success for you is and for them is the same. The third thing is to negotiate and clarify. That means define the words. Who's doing it? What are they doing? By when and how? Who's doing what? By when and how? This framework or this practice is easier to do than you think. Sometimes people get scared and they're like, ooh, I don't know if I can get agreement. Well, you won't know till you try. The last couple of steps after negotiate and clarify is to confirm it in writing, especially if it has work to do has to do with work or your partner. Here's what Joy and I do. We used to use Skype, and then when that went away here a little while ago, we switched to WhatsApp. So we use WhatsApp to put in our agreements. Will you do this? Yes or no? And until I get a confirming yes back, I don't assume anything. I don't even know if she's seen it. I don't know if it fits in the schedule. So that's one of the ways we do a verbal. We do a lot of stuff verbally, but my office is way downstairs and hers is in a different part of the house. So we'll often send things back and forth to get agreements. This is what I need. And I'll ask, do you see anything wrong with that? Got any ideas? Cool. When can I have it? Blah. Wow, that's really not when I need it. I need it 3 hours sooner. Can you do that? That's creating the kind of agreement we're talking about. And it is confirmed in writing because it's in the WhatsApp chat. Now, I want to tie this to creating your ultimate life. I, Kellen, live a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy every day. I'm happy every day. My dial of happy is on 11. And nothing that goes on around me bothers me. And let's even go back to this example. It was frustrating not to have our room. But I always know in my heart that there's a way out. I always know there's a way forward. There just always is, right? So instead of being frustrated, I just got on the phone, started calling hotels, thinking there's got to be a way. And of course, there was. Purpose, prosperity, and joy is yours to create every single day, every breath. Learning to create strong agreements is a tool in that toolkit. Now I'm going to go to the golden rule part of this, which is a sort of a behavioral maxim that is attributed to Christ. But regardless, we all know what it is. Do unto others as though you were the others, or treat other people like you would like to be treated. You know, that kind of statement, we've all heard it, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That is the heart of both of these things, expectations and agreements. Because I'm not even thinking of a negative thing when someone's intentionally out to hurt somebody. The heart of expectations and agreements is exactly the same. I need a thing done, and I need you to do it. And you can say it different ways. The big difference is, did I get agreement? Did I get a yes? Did I get a nod? I'll have it done. Or I can have half of it done. I can have the rest of it done 2 hours later. You know, whatever it is, but get to an agreement so there's no surprises. Because the thing that causes frustration is often the surprise. Yeah, but I was expecting. Yeah, but I need it now. You know, that kind of thing. All right. When service providers, like the hotel example, or leaders or friends act without care, without paying attention to what you might really want, then if we do that, we're operating outside the golden rule and we're operating outside explicit agreements. That is going to cause problems, I promise. Okay? And you can say, I don't care. Everybody just has to deal with me the way I am. I can promise you that won't go to purpose, prosperity, and joy. That will go to loneliness and ostracization, where nobody wants to be around you because you're an arrogant prick. So the golden rule is a blanket that facilitates our human interaction. The agreements piece reduces friction and brings people that are parties to whatever it is into alignment so that there's less contention, less frustration, and things happen. With service providers, leaders, and friends, when they act without care, I said that, then we're operating outside that and we're asking for trouble. We're asking for resentment. We're asking for bad Google reviews. We're asking for things that are going to hurt us emotionally and energetically. So this is your chance right now to commit. Here's that word, commitment, to agree. Say this out loud if you dare. I'm committed to do everything with an agreement. It's in my interest to do it with an agreement. It gets rid of conflict and it gets rid of misunderstanding. If you have a good agreement, you won't have any misunderstanding. Well, I understood it this way and that. No, if you say the deliverable, the do what by when, if you say that out loud, then you can have agreements that stand. And so take the time to do that. Your invitation for me here is to get yourself closer to that ultimate life by making a choice to create agreements. Now, one objection that I hear is, oh, I feel stiff. Like, I got to say, do you agree every time? Well, no, you don't have to. Only if you want to never have agreements or disagreements. Said that wrong. You don't need to do that if you want to live in contention and frustration. So make a choice right now to operate your life with an agreement. As simple as possible. Can you do that? Yes or no? Okay, great. Thank you. I'm depending on it. Moving to a place where you have agreements as the foundation for even little things is joyful and powerful. And you will have more joy. You will experience less frustration. You will get more of what you want. You will have more happiness and zero of that negative feeling of disappointment and being let down. When you practice, when you or I both practice the golden rule, we move toward clarity. Like, we know how we would like to be treated. We want to be treated with respect, with kindness, you know, and like we matter and that sort of stuff. When we operate in the golden rule, as it were, or with agreements all the time, everybody's vibe goes up because I'm respecting you. Are you okay to do that? I'm honoring your time and other commitments you may have that I don't even know. And so doing that raises the vibe. It increases friendship. It increases trust. And guess what? That increases the golden rule. Treat others like you'd like to be treated. You know how you want to be treated. With kindness, with respect, the people who promise you stuff are going to deliver, you know, all that stuff. Now, the Clearwater example that we gave was a failure on multiple levels. It wasn't just a logistical failure. You know, the room wasn't full. They hadn't rented it out from under me. I've had that happen, by the way. I was in Washington, D.C., and they'd rented it out from under me. But anyway, different story, different day. It wasn't a logistical failure, except if you count the fact that you couldn't book, you couldn't even check to see if a pet-friendly room is available. It just said pet-friendly on the site. So what would you assume? It's pet-friendly, all of the rooms. You didn't know. Well, only two of them because whatever. So creating this agreement all the time, it's going to save you a lot of heartache. It'll make life a lot more fun. Moving into the golden rule where we're treating other people like we like to be treated, it increases the depth of our character. It invites other people to treat us that way too. You teach people how to treat you. If you lie to yourself, people will lie to you. So making a choice about who you are and how you want to be in the world is critical here. All right, so here's the other failures was a human failure. They didn't want to be accommodating. They didn't really care that grandma was going to be outside all night. They didn't know we were going to find a busted room. They didn't know that, and they didn't give a crap. That is the opposite. And what does it do? It creates resentment. It creates a feeling of nobody cares. It creates those kinds of feelings, and I'm sure you've had some examples in your life where you've experienced something like that, and you're like, oh, how mean, how unkind. Well, we don't need to be that, because when you live your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, your cup's running over all the time. You've got love and joy and light to serve all the time because you keep your cup full. You keep your cup full. Okay, so here's the recap here, the summary. Assumptions breed resentment. Agreements breed trust. Do you want to live a life of trust or a life of resentment? Do you want to live a life of unmet expectations where you're constantly frustrated? Or do you want to live a life where you know most of the time, barring emergencies, what you're going to get? And you live as a person who does that. Because, you know, karma, what goes around comes around. If I try to get you to agree to things explicitly and then I'm loosey-goosey, that relationship isn't going to last very long. You know, there's going to be some conflict. because of the difference of expectations and because there was no agreement. So here's your challenge for this. Here's your challenge for the week. I want you to identify a relationship. Identify a relationship that's important to you, not a casual one. And then I want you to think about this. Where in that relationship, and take a minute to think about this. Don't just brush it off and say, doesn't apply. This has great power to give you happiness. Who doesn't want more happiness? You want more happiness? Follow these instructions. So I want you to think about a relationship. Can be personal, can be professional, where you're living on expectations. And I'll tell you how you can tell. You're regularly in the mode of getting a little disappointed because it didn't come out the way you want. You thought you were perfectly clear and it just didn't work out. They didn't get it. Okay? Now, I want you to pick one relationship where you know that you're living on expectations. And how you know is there those periodic escalations, those periodic frustrations, periodic negative things. So pick that relationship and then do this. In one time, in the next 1 or 2 days, replace the expectation with an agreement. And you can open that conversation really easily. It doesn't have to be awkward or anything. I want to make sure I understand what we're doing here. Put it on you. I just need to make sure I understand. Here's what I think we're doing. I need you to correct me if this is wrong. And then you say it. And that's an open invitation to be easy about creating an agreement. I'm not sure I want to make sure I understand what we've agreed to. And then you put the onus on you, like you didn't understand, and you get to clarify. Okay? So that's your first challenge. One personal or professional relationship where you're living on expectations. You know you are if you feel frustration on a regular basis, right? And that's how you can tell. If you feel frustration on a regular basis, there is a relationship based on expectations. Then question number two is, okay, what agreement do I need to make with myself to fix that problem? I've said several times on this episode and others that I live what I call the ultimate life. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. I love every minute of my days and all the work that I'm doing. Well, you don't fall up that mountain. You have to decide. This is a choice. You can make a choice right here, right now, to never live on expectations again. You can make a choice to start practicing just simple sentences. Are we agreed on this? We're agreed, right? It doesn't have to be long and complicated. And your willingness to do that, I promise you, is going to level up your joy. It's going to level up your connection to purpose. And it's going to put some cash in your bank account. And it's sometimes you say things like that and people look like, well, how can you say that? I've done enough of this kind of work that I know how it goes. And you can create anything you like. So what agreements do you need to make with yourself to live your ultimate life, right? You've identified a relationship where you're living on expectation. You're going to replace it with a clear agreement this week, right now. And then for personal growth, what agreements do you need to make with yourself? I'll give you one that I made. It was really hard for me. During my years and decades of depression, I used to lie a lot. I was a practically pathological liar. And I did it to protect myself from disappointment, from frustration, all that kind of stuff. So the agreement I had to make with myself was a statement in my personal truth document. I am my word. I speak only truth. I do what I say. I am what I seem. With transparency and integrity. Now, I have that memorized along with all the rest of my document so that I can have it accessible immediately. I have decided for me, and I'm not telling you how to be, I've decided for me, I'm never going to speak another word of untruth. I've decided for me, I'm never going to behave in a way that puts off an impression that I'm a certain way. I'm going to be clear in my behaviors, clear in how I act and comport myself, so that there's no question who I am, what I stand for, and so forth. That was an agreement I had to make with myself because I was so miserable when I couldn't trust myself and I knew I was, you know, stretching the truth here and there. So that was a change. It was hard, but it was worth it because now I don't have any of that issue going on in my life. Okay. Let the others live in silent expectation. You live in the clarity of an agreement. Okay? If you want help, go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com. This little thing up here. There's a contact form. I can teach you how to do this. I can teach you how to create agreements that will save your life, save your business, and save your marriage. I can teach you how to do that. I've learned it the hard way, the difficult path with lots of mistakes, but I've become really good at it. So let me help you. All right. I can promise you that if you take this message today, learn to use agreements instead of expectations, especially with yourself, you'll be moving fast and moving forward to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.